What age should you be able to retire at? It's about to be a battle in France again. Live from the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Will Bain. Good morning. The French President Emmanuel Macron is set for another showdown with trade unions as he gets set to try, once again, to tackle one of France's most sensitive employment topics, the retirement age. Amidst a range of more complex changes to be put before Parliament today, the headline-grabbing pension reform is an aim to increase the legal age of retirement from 62 to 64 or 65. The last time Mr. Macron tried to introduce pension changes in 2019, it led to almost 3 months of strikes like these.
We are protesting against Macron's policy, who wants to destroy the social protection in France.
Strikes that saw the economy grind to a halt. Our Paris correspondent Hugh Schofield told us more.
The big thing, no question about it, means that people will, in general, have to work for an extra couple of years. Of course, it is more complicated than that, because behind that, there's the fact that you also have to have earned enough annuities, as they say, enough
points,
in order
basically,
to qualify for a full pension. But on the other side, the government would say, well, we are offering more for people who start working very young, maybe at 17 or 18. They will maybe get a chance to leave earlier. People with difficult professions will be given new dispensations, which many of the unions have been pushing for. There'll be more of that sort of guaranteed sort of floor for pensions, which means that there's more of a distinction between a proper earned pension and the minimum which people get who haven't worked all their lives. So things like that are supposed to be the carrot. The stick, if you like, is this idea that, well, sorry, necessity, actuarial need means that we have to balance the books in the years ahead. And that, I'm afraid, does mean we have to work longer.
Yeah, logic there, Hugh. Perhaps not so much logic in terms of the timing, in terms of the cost of living crunch. Why now? It doesn't seem like fantastic politics.
Well, I think the argument there is that he's promised it in his second campaign. He failed, as you say, 3 years ago to get it through, a slightly different reform plan. He failed because of COVID and the protests. If he's going to achieve anything in this second term, it really has to be this. This is the big reform on which others hinge. You've got to remember that what's happened in the last two or three years is that the Macron of budgetary responsibility and liberal economics and good money and so on has been junked. I mean, he's had to splurge, what they call in France, quoi qu'il en coûte. We will spend whatever we have to, because that was the watchword at the start of COVID. So the money poured out. He needs to get that back, not so much for the sake of his voting figures in the country, but for the sake of Europe, for the sake of his partners in Germany and elsewhere, who are looking on very critically, saying, you know, what happened to this budgetary responsible Macron? It's turned into another French president who opens the taps whenever he has to, whenever there's a protest movement that wants more money.
Plenty at stake. The BBC's Paris correspondent, Hugh Schofield, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Well, Paris's CAC 40 index is off this morning as we check the numbers now. Yeah, down just shy of 0.5% at the moment. The DAX in Germany also off by a similar amount right now. Meanwhile, in the UK, a bit more detail today on where some of those global Amazon job cuts might fall. The company has said it will shut 3 warehouses here, closing 1,200 jobs. Let's head to India now, where northern parts of the country are completely engulfed in thick smog. Trains and flights have been cancelled and authorities in the capital, Delhi, have asked schools to extend their winter holidays. Smita Sharma is a journalist in Delhi.
There is this terrible combination of air pollution. We are living in one of the most polluted cities in the world. And when you combine it with the unfavorable meteorological conditions, you also have dense smog. So people having to drive through heavy traffic choke points. We saw some 267 trains that were cancelled due to heavy fog. There were 170 trains that were delayed. There were some 150, in fact, domestic flights too that were disrupted because of fog. The air quality index on my phone, it is still at a severe category.
That's Smita Sharma speaking to us from Delhi there. Well, let's move to China, because the country has stopped issuing short-term visas to individuals from South Korea and Japan today. It's in retaliation for COVID restrictions imposed on Chinese travellers to those countries. Chinese officials say it's discriminatory to single out Chinese travellers. COVID has spread rapidly, though, in China, as we were telling you yesterday, after its zero COVID policy of tight restrictions was abandoned. The BBC's Nick Marsh has been to Seoul International Airport to see how South Korea's new policy is being implemented.
All arrivals from China here in Seoul are being funneled through arrival gates. So right in front of me, the first batch of passengers from Shanghai are walking through the doors, being met by the army, actually, all dressed in PPE. So after clearing a pre-departure test, they now have to do an arrival test. If that result is positive, then they're going to have to spend 7 days in a quarantine hotel. Some have taken the law into their own hands. A Chinese man who tested positive last week went on the run. CCTV footage showed him bolting out of a white van as it pulled up outside a quarantine hotel for foreigners. 2 days later, he was caught by police and arrested. But when I was there, security at the airport did seem quite relaxed. I was even able to speak to people from the Shanghai flight just as they made their way to the testing centre.
I personally think it's okay. I have been through much worse.
This is William. He's a businessman from Shanghai.
I can understand different country has their different policy. People can decide what they want to do.
William was pretty relaxed about the new protocol, but the Chinese government isn't. So what's South Korea's justification? Professor Kim Woo-ju is one of the country's leading COVID experts who's advised the government on several occasions.
There's no monitoring for new variants in China at the moment, and there's no transparency. We currently have a lot of hospitalizations and deaths already, and our elderly people are also under-vaccinated. This is what we are worried about.
The new rules are expected to last at least a month to allow enough time for scientists to collect data on any possible new variants.
That's the BBC's Nick Marsh reporting from Seoul there. And remember, if you missed any of our China coverage, listen back to our podcast. Just search for the Marketplace Morning Report wherever you get yours from. A big thanks from our team, from Olivia at the controls, from James producing, from me, Will Bain. You've been listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.